This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend to you a warm-hearted welcome from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Steve Kramer will be conducting our service today. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
What does a follower of Jesus Christ look like? How does one conduct himself or herself on a daily basis? Hear what one of the most influential Christian thinkers wrote about that question. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, your kingdom has broken into our troubled world through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to hear your word today and obey it, so that we may become instruments of your redeeming love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior,
Our reading for today is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 8. Paul writes, "For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Dear friends, back in 1748, a captain of a slave trading ship had a conversion experience to Christianity during a severe storm. Later on, he became an ordained pastor and even got involved in the fight to abolish human slavery. He also wrote some great hymns. The captain's name was John Newton. One of his most famous hymns describes the change that occurred in his life when Christ Jesus stepped in. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." I was reminded of Newton's hymn as I read the opening line of today's scripture reading, when Paul wrote, "Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light." Now, who is Paul writing to? He's writing to some Ephesian Christians, people who once were lost, but now were found. A change has occurred in their lives. They moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of life. Spiritually, they didn't have a clue about things until they met Jesus. Paul spent quite a bit of ink reminding these people in the first three chapters of his letter of the grace that had been poured into their lives through Jesus Christ, describing what Jesus had done for them, dying upon a cross, and placing their trust in him and what he did for them. They are children of God who are saved. This passage, from which we just read this morning, is a part of the second half of that letter, which deals with the question, so how do we live out the rest of our days as Christ followers? In this first verse before us, he uses these words to remind us of who we are. Once you were darkness. That's the domain of those captive to the evil one, and it's a dead end. But now in Christ, you are light. Jesus has broken the chains that held you through his cross and resurrection. You're forgiven. You have a promise of everlasting life as you put your trust in him. You're filled with the light of Christ. You're on his team. Once you were on the darkness team, now you're on Christ's light team. So live as children of light, Paul writes. As I read that, I remember when Jesus told his disciples one time, "You're the light of the world." I have been rescued for a purpose, to be a light to the world around me for Jesus Christ. There's a favorite song in our congregation that we sing many Sundays as we're leaving the sanctuary, and it goes like this. "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." So, how do we do that? Let it shine. Paul describes what it looks like to shine for Christ. As he goes on and he says, as you live as children of light, For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. First, we see that to live as children of life is a lifestyle. We live as children of light. It's what we do. It's the way we conduct ourselves in this world. Paul says we conduct ourselves with goodness. The fruit of the light, he says, is all that is good. In the Old Testament book of Micah, we are told this: He has told you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Goodness involves acting fairly, being kind to those around you, being humble as you follow God, following His lead in your life. That's what it looks like, being fair, being kind, being humble. He also says that the fruit of the light is all that is right, that we do what is right in God's eyes, even if it's inconvenient or unpopular or costly to ourselves. We are people who are a people of righteousness if we're living as children of light. That fruit of the light is also all that is true. In the New Testament, truth is not simply an intellectual thing to be grasped with the mind. Paul is talking about moral truth, something that is not only known, but something that is to be done. It means to be a person of integrity, whose word is true, a person who walks the talk, a person who can be trusted. I came across a story a while back written by a pastor named Don Shelby, who describes one who moved from darkness to light and began to live the new vision as walking as a child of light. The story goes as follows. One morning while serving the church in San Diego, I was called into the sanctuary upon my arrival at my study. The custodian wanted me to see a strange offering which had been placed at the very center of the altar. Upon examination, we discovered it to be a pair of brown corduroy trousers, a belt, a white t-shirt, a pair of tan suede boots, and a note. There were blood stains on the shirt and on the note. The note had been written on one of the pledge cards which we had placed in the pews for that year's Loyalty Sunday. A name was written large and underlined three times. Then the plea, also underlined, "Please listen to God." On the reverse side, an address had been written and also a phone number. Where a signature was called for, a name was signed. I made a call to that number listed and reached a young man, the one who had written the note. I need not share all the details, but this young man of 19 years, after a long wandering in a wasteland of drugs, dropping out of sight, severing contact with his family, and getting involved in one mess after another, had come home. The night before, he had finally reached bottom. There had been a struggle on the streets, a fight, and an almost fatal beating. After making sure the victim of his uncontrolled assault was going to be all right in the emergency room of a nearby hospital, this young man came by the church, found an unlocked door, and went into the sanctuary. He said he stayed there the rest of the night, praying and pondering. He asked God to forgive him and to show him the way to go. He said all at once the presence of God became very real. He knew he had been forgiven. A wonderful peace came. He committed himself to follow Jesus Christ. He determined to make things right, which he had messed up. To symbolize his commitment, he had put on some clean clothes he had in his bedroll and left the others as a kind of offering, giving God his old life. He said he walked out the door a new person with a new vision and a new hope. But it doesn't end there. Paul goes on to say, and try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. There's a commitment there. I want to get to know what is pleasing to Him as I play out the rest of the days of my life. How do I do that? As I live with Jesus in the Gospels, as I begin to read those over and over again and meditate upon them and think about how Jesus lived and the things that He told His followers about life. We find Jesus saying things like the greatest commandment of all is loving God and loving neighbor. We see Jesus calling His followers to a life of servanthood, of washing feet. We hear Him calling them to tell the story of what He has done for the world and how a better life is possible in getting involved with Jesus Christ. We see in His actions mercy and forgiveness and compassion as He calls us to do what He has done in our relationships with those around us. So we study, we try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord, and then we put it to work in our lives. Some people might have been thinking to themselves as they read this, well, what about all the darkness around me in this world? I live in a dark world. People down at the office, it's a dark place. People at my other places of employment, where I hang out. Well, this is what Paul says after he tells them to take on that new life, walking in the light and finding out what's pleasing to the Lord. He says, don't participate in the unfruitful works of darkness. What are those unfruitful works of darkness? Well, previously, he has given a few examples earlier on in this chapter as he described sexual immorality, greed, idolatry, obscenities, and vulgar talk, just to name a few. Paul says these sorts of things are dead-end ways of life, and they do not fit into kingdom living. So don't waste your life getting involved with them. They contribute nothing of lasting good to life in this world. In fact, he says, and not only don't participate in them, instead expose them for what they are: darkness, evil, a dead-end lifestyle. We expose them with our actions. We bring the light of our own lives, living as Christ would live. As we treat people with kindness and love and dignity, that's a powerful sermon for people to see. As we refuse to lie or cheat or gossip, as we work at being the number one person in our office of integrity and kindness and teamwork, that kind of thing awakens and enlightens others to ask questions in which you can point them in the direction of Jesus Christ. You're being a light. Andy Stanley, a pastor down south, tells a story about Pete. Pete's family moved to the United States from the former Soviet Union when he was 12. His parents were agnostic and therefore had never encouraged him to explore anything that had to do with religion. When I met Pete, he was full of questions about Christianity. I told him I'd be happy to answer as many questions as I could. We began having lunch together every week or so. During our first meeting together, I asked Pete why he was so interested in the gospel, and this is what he said. I'm in business with several families who have the kind of marriage I want to have. All of them are Christians. I know their families are the way they are because of their Christian faith. After 10 months of Bible study and debate, Pete prayed to receive Jesus Christ into his life. Why? Because several couples conducted their marriages and business in a manner different from the norm. Upon close examination, Pete caught a glimpse of something divine. Their lives birthed a vision in Pete of what could be true of his own marriage someday. They lived lives worth watching, and unbeknownst to them, Pete was watching. Not only do we expose with our actions, we expose people to the light with our words. We need to begin to learn to speak up. If you see something that is not in accordance with what is pleasing to God, don't be afraid to speak up. If you see someone's life being destroyed because of actions or thoughts or attitudes, speak up. I know it's not always the comfortable thing or the popular thing or even the politically correct thing, but remember, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you follow Christ, we play for an audience of one, the Lord. And we point out things with our words, not just negatively, but positively, pointing people in the right direction of Jesus Christ, saying, He knows what makes life work. There's a warning here attached to this for you to think about. It can be painful and costly. I read a story about a young man, and this is written by his parent, Fran Siaka. She says, My eldest son was at a sleepover at a friend's house for his birthday. As the evening wore on, the boys decided to watch a rented video. About 15 minutes into the movie, my son remarked, You know, I'm not sure that the Lord would sit and watch this with us. The mother was so moved by what my son said that she turned off the movie. However, much to my son's dismay, that was the last overnight he was invited to. His honesty with his friends had a high price tag, and sadly, nearly 3 years later, my son is still paying for it. But here's the upside. You'll have an impact for the kingdom as you influence others around you. Paul writes, Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Paul seems to be saying to them, Light not only illumines, but has the power to transform someone like it did you, you Ephesians. The light of Christ can cause cleansing and purifying and actually transform a life as they're exposed to your life and to your words. Paul then concludes this thought with kind of a reveille. It's a call to action. Therefore, it says, Paul writes, Sleeper awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He calls them to wake up, live in the light, be the light, and the promise is that Christ will shine on you. Dear friends, we live in a world with darkness. You don't have to look far. It's all around. Wake up is what we're being called to today. Christ is calling. This world needs your light. There are so many deceived and blinded and living in darkness, and Scripture says they are lost. O children of light, hear the words of Jesus. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. May your theme song from this day on be what I'm about to play for you now.
To let it
Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's gospel message has brought you comfort and peace for the week ahead. Many of our listeners are not aware that Christian Crusaders must purchase its own radio airtime in order to broadcast our worship service each and every week. Please consider, if you're in a position to do so, sending a financial gift. In this way, you become a partner in carrying out our mission to proclaim Jesus Christ as Redeemer of the world and personal Savior to all who receive Him. God's blessings to each of you. Today's service is available to be read or heard anytime on the internet. Our website has many spiritual tools, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Visit us on the web at christiancrusaders.org. Printed copies, cassette tapes, and CDs of today's program are available free of charge. We are also offering our DVD series, Basic Biblical Truths. This 5-disc set is available for a suggested gift of $10 each or $50 for the set. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 72nd year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.